Praise God. Well, I'm so excited. You know, Eloy was talking there a little about impact. And we've been doing a series on get ready for impact. You know, just as Pastor Green, for those of you that don't know, Kathleen, if you'll raise your hand right there. Kathleen Green and Pastor Green pastored this church for 23 years, from 1990 to 2013. That's 2014, right around there. But he one time had that, you know, we're going to be a lighthouse and we're going to help people. And we're just a little church that barely had any money. Like, what are you talking about? Next thing you know, the dorms were built and it didn't cost the church anything. God provided. And just one miracle after another. And now we see it kind of developing, and some of you are helping out with different areas, different talents that God has given you. And just as he had that, it's like I caught the vision or fire, and in my heart, I just believe that God's barely getting started, and we're going to be known in the valley for Foursquare Church or Hope Community Church, a place where we help people, and we're going to bless people, expecting nothing in return. The only thing we want them to know is that God cares and God loves them. And that's the vision that we have. And so we're doing as the little things, but it's preparing us for something big, as Eloy said, bigger than ourselves. I really believe that. That's why I keep giving messages about you, God's going to do amazing things with you. You have talents and skills that God's given you, and you're going to do amazing things. You are going to make an impact. But the enemy's at work trying his best to distract us and keep us focused on temporary things that bother us, that stress us out. But if we can just step out of that for a second and just see the vision, we are called to greatness, every one of us. Greatness. And you know, the world defines greatness one way. God defines greatness by, if you want to be great in my kingdom, serve and love people. And one day we're all going to be up there, as Matt said, dancing in the streets of gold with our friends, our relatives, our Christian brothers and sisters. And those rewards will be for those who are great, those who served. All the ones that you know, as I was praying here, and I was just praying, God, God, help me to answer the call you have for my life. That's what came out of me. I went to a youth conference when I was 16, 18 years old, I forgot, in Denver, Colorado. And there was this song, you know, Answer the Call. Answer the Call, the last call of all. And I was sitting right there going all the way back, and then I'm like, Lord, I want to answer the call. You may be thinking, you're a pastor. You've answered the call. And I was like, no, pastor's just a title. No, answer the call, the work, the purpose, the place that God wants us to be. And it's not about titles. Answering the call is about being where God is and just letting him lead you and guide you into your destiny and greatness. And that's what I believe. And this series about Get Ready for Impact was all about you are destined for greatness and to impact people. And whether it's at your workplace or friends or family, somehow, some way, when you read your Bible and you pray every day and you get on your knees and you ask God to forgive you and you want him to take over your life, that heart will always impact people. Amen? And that's what I want to impart on the church. And you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your struggles and battles and stresses are, God is a good God and he's got a good plan. And he'll get you through from one fire to another fire. He'll get you through. And I want to end this series about Get Ready for Impact and today. And I want to end it with this last characteristic. We started with the book of Daniel. He was a faithful heart. Daniel was faithful, right? No matter what the law was, he was going to be faithful and pray to God. And he got in trouble for that. So we started with week one, faithful heart. Then we talked about a thankful heart and a determined heart and a humble heart. And I want to end this series with about being a forgiving heart. Forgiving heart. And when you wrap all those characteristics, all those things in one person, you got impact, right? You got impact. And these are basically characteristics that Jesus Christ came and showed us when he lived on earth, right? He was very faithful to the Father. He was very thankful for what he had. And he was determined to die for us. And he was humble because he left everything to just be with us. And he was forgiving, very forgiving. So let's cover that today, a forgiving heart. It is, get ready for impact, forgiving heart. It's clear in Scripture that these principles that we talked about in this series, they lead to life of joy and peace. And when we leave these principles, we make an impact. So the main point today in your notes, it says it right there, people who have a forgiving heart will make an impact for God's kingdom, and God will show you mercy and grace. Amen. He will. He will. Let's turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. So before, first underline in your notes, before you can get ready for impact, that's your underline, impact, you have to believe there will be an impact. You won't act if you don't believe. You got to believe in yourself, you know. You got to believe that you're destined for greatness. You got to believe. Oh, the Bible is clear about that. It's clear that he's got a good plan for you. He's got he worked it all out before you were ever born. He's got a good plan for you. You got to believe that you are destined for impact. You are destined to impact people for God's kingdom no matter what. Amen. Amen? The timing and all that will work itself out, but don't ever doubt. Don't ever doubt that you are destined for impact. You're going to impact people for God. You are, because you are his children. You're the light of the world, the Bible says. So, you got to believe. And so Jesus emphasized forgiveness not in his words and in his actions. Let's listen to his words. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. So Jesus is speaking, and he's telling us very clearly, when you pray, make sure you forgive. Make sure you let things go, right? Make sure you let things go when you have an ought, right? When you have something against a friend or relative. Don't take all those grudges and all those offenses with you and share them with everybody and make sure everybody's on your side. We love to do that, right? I mean, we just love it. It's just good to have everybody on our side, and that person is wrong, and everybody needs to know about that, right? But Jesus says, don't, when you pray, let it go. Forgive people. Let it go. You know, sometimes people say, I should only forgive when I'm asked, and they accept good luck, right? Waiting, you'll be waiting a long time. Jesus, there's times when you need to forgive when someone asks you for forgiveness, but there are times when you need to let it go even when they don't ask. Amen? And Jesus showed all of this. I'm not making it up. We're going to read it in a second. Jesus didn't put a restriction on forgiveness. So don't wait always to be asked for forgiveness. You'll be waiting a long time. So, in Mark 11, 25, Jesus makes it clear, forgive. Let's look at Luke 23, 34. If you'll turn quickly to Luke chapter 23, verse 34, then you know Jesus was being crucified and he's being spit upon, and they are nailing him to a cross, and they're going to sell his robe. They're gambling on his robe, casting lots on his robe. A lot of things are going on. And through all of this mess, Jesus is about to die a painful death. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiments for lots. Jesus showed forgiveness by example. He literally was being spit upon and tortured. And he's at that moment, at that time, saying, "Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He didn't wait for them to ask. "Hey, sorry, Jesus, we're going to crucify you. Will you forgive us?" He wasn't waiting for anything. He didn't want to carry that in his heart, any hatred to the cross. He didn't want to carry anything. He says, "Forgive them, Lord. They don't even know what they're doing. They think they don't know that you and I have, we're part of the Holy Trinity and we're God, and they don't know any of that. Just forgive them." You know, sometimes people, when they offend you, they don't really know what they're doing. Most of the time when people are offending you, it's because they're hurt and they're trying to fight their own hurt. And hurting someone else makes people feel better sometimes. That's how the enemy works. So forgiveness, both when you're asked to be for forgiveness and sometimes when you're not asked, you need to let it go. Because Jesus showed us a perfect example. Jesus led by word and by action. So people of impact, they get this. They understand this. Let's read a few more scriptures. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses." So that's pretty deep, isn't it? Not only is it commanded and Jesus made it clear, but it's for your own good. For your own good to forgive others. Because, boy, we need a lot of mercy and grace ourselves, don't we? Amen. None of us are perfect. You said something to hurt somebody. I know there's the other side to this. I don't have this in my notes, but I'm just going to mention it because it came to my mind and I want to. There's the other side to this. One is you can say something to offend somebody. The other side to this, there are people looking to be offended. "Did you hear the way they said that? Did you hear the way they looked at me? Did you see how they looked at me when they said that?" Right? And the pastor gets it the worst. "He didn't shake my hand, but he shook everyone else's hand. I apologize now in advance for all the times I've offended you." You know, pastor, you can have a bad day too, but yeah. People are out there looking to be offended, and then they want to talk to everybody about it. But that's a whole other sermon we're not going to get into today. But don't look to be offended. But we need to forgive people because it's for our own good. The Bible's clear about that. Amen. It's very clear. So have a forgiving heart. Have a forgiving heart. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And we're going to just go through a few scriptures because we want to set the foundation how important it is in scripture to have a forgiving heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Very clear, right? We don't need to have a long analytical discussion. The Word of God tells us to be forgiving people. That is not always easy, but is always the right thing to do. And this is why it's important when you pray in your daily prayer life and your daily Bible reading to invite the Holy Spirit to take over your life, to take over. Because some of these things you can't do in your carnal nature. Amen? That person that you're not, just, I can't forget that person. I mean, I may just pretend or ignore it, but I'm never going to forgive them. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to take over your life. You remember those fruits of the Spirit? That's not carnal. That's not from carnal nature. That's from the Holy Spirit. His character, right? The character of Jesus. How was Jesus about to be nailed to a cross able to just say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because he wasn't operating in the sinful nature. He was operating in the Spirit of God, of his Heavenly Father, in the nature of God. And so, if you are going through those moments in your life, or you're counseling somebody, how do I forgive this person? Look how horrible they are. The answer is not some kind of checklist. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Have two of these, three of these, and you'll forgive them. The answer is ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to have the forgiving heart. Amen? That's good wisdom. You can write that down right there. Ask the Holy Spirit. I should have wrote that down in your notes, but I didn't. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to forgive others. So you can't do all of these things in your own carnal strength is what I'm trying to tell you. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you and to empower you to have this heart to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 13. Colossians 3, verse 12 through 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Who's an elect of God? You and I, right? We are the elect of God. We are Christians, imperfect, but we are saved by his grace and his righteousness, his mercy. So put on, therefore, as Christians, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow, right? I love reading these over and over because there is no question in God's word that Christians need to be forgiving people, right? And it's clear, clear, clear in God's word. It's not one of those, you know, you can read that either way. Sometimes there's things in the Bible where you can read it either way, or, you know, you need the Holy Spirit to guide you. It's not necessarily clear. This is not one of them, right? There are a few things like that are non-negotiable in our Christian faith. And it's all the denominations in the Christian faith would do good by focusing on these instead of all the differences. And that is that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Amen. He died and he rose again, and because of that, our sins are washed away and we are clean and righteous before God. Unwavering, right? The Bible is clear about that. Amen. And having a forgiving heart is just as clear. God wants us to let go and forgive one another. And what a better time to do that right before Christmas, right? Because you're about to get together with family and you don't want to have a mopey Christmas. This family member did this or this Uncle Julio did that. You want to let go and be at peace and joy. I was telling my wife the other day and a few other people, I don't know what it is, but we're all going through stuff. But this Christmas, there's a joy and a peace and a laughter in the church. And I don't know if I'm reading it wrong. Maybe you're going through something really hard or something. I don't know. But despite it all, rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Keep it simple. Amen? What else do we need? We're all going to be in the streets of gold one day. And keep it simple because life in the temporary, the enemy can distract us and get us concerned. But God is good. And he will make a way. Those things that we need him to move, he'll move. He'll move when he needs to move. Just believe. Believe all things are possible. Amen. So, In verse 13, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If you have a quarrel, let it go. Forgive. In Ephesians 4:31, we kind of were there a little while ago, but I'll read it again. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All right? You know, I've always said you can't just take a scripture and then make a whole religion out of it, right? You know, people do that, right? That's why you have a church that, like, has all these snakes and stuff, right? Because they took one scripture, you know, something about the snake, and now it's crazy. But you read the whole word, and you get the intent of God, what God's trying to do here. He doesn't want us around being angry people, holding malice. At the same time, there is a time to be angry, right? Ecclesiastes tells us. Jesus was angry, right, when he cleared the temple. So you got to take the whole picture. But the point that God's making here is not that you'll never get angry, because there's times when you need to discipline your child, and you know they can interpret that as, you got angry, you're not supposed to get angry, the Bible said. The child will come back and use it against you, right? That's not what we're talking about here. Always never being angry. If you're angry, you've sinned, right? But the Bible's clear. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't be angry people. It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing, an intent. What's your intentions? What's your motivation? And so it is clear, don't hold bitterness and all of that stuff. In James chapter 5, verse 16, and this is the last scripture, believe it or not, but it doesn't mean that we're done, but it is the last scripture, in case you're getting a little excited. James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another. That means be humble, right? Be humble. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I like this scripture because it reminds us about this principle, this concept, and this wisdom. If you need God to do something for you, do something for others. That's so hard. I go on, God, I'm moping because God's not doing something. The last thing I want to do is go right now and help other people. But actually the opposite is what the Bible teaches us to do. Right? It says there, when you gather together, confess each other's faults and pray with each other. Why? That ye may be healed. In other words, when you have all this bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness, you know, you're putting things in the way where God can't move in your life. Right? Because God and sin, they don't mix. Think of it this way. Forgiveness is a good medicine. It's good medicine. Right? And you can quote these scriptures back to the Lord, right? Lord, help me not to hold any grudges. Help me to forgive. But in turn, he's promising you good health and good peace and to move on your behalf. And it's okay, right? You just set your heart to do things right. And it's okay to say, Lord, I've been trying to change. I'm trying. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And you can plead to God and remind him of his word. You know why? I know that Moses did it. Lord, remember your word before you kill all the people here because they're awful people. Remember your word about the promise to Abraham and Isaac. And it's okay to have those conversations with God. When you are frustrated that God is waiting so long, it's okay to get on your knees. And ask God what's going on and let it go. But then go help people. Right? You leave it at the cross and forgive people and serve people. Keep on doing the work because God's word is truth. You begin to pour out into people and into things. God will pour into you bountiful blessings. Trust Him. Trust Him. But apply that in your life. And this is how you begin to make impact. Right? When we're having a bad day, being able to put it aside and go and help people with joy and peace, or bless people somehow, giving them an encouraging word, and then going back and saying, Lord, I still need you to help me. It's not being a hypocrite. It's being real. And you go and you show people God and His love. And then God will start to move in a way you have not seen. And I believe that with all my heart. So that's the forgiving heart. It's time to have a forgiving heart. Time to have a forgiving heart. Holding on to grudges and not, the next underline in your notes, holding on to grudges and not forgiving, you can fill in forgiving, and not forgiving others keeps you in chains. It is hard to hear from God and make an impact for God if you are holding on to hate, grudges, and unforgiveness. It is clear in Scripture that it is not God's plan for you to hold on to unforgiveness and to bitterness. So ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to let go of hurts. So let go of the harm others have done to you. There is freedom and there is power in letting go and trusting God to intercede on your behalf. This next underline is, it is hard to hear from God and make an impact if you're holding on to all these things. Have a forgiving heart. Let's just take a moment there and let's just pray. Going into the Christmas time, and I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads. If you just want to ask the Holy Spirit to empower you to let go of some things, to forgive, to let go, to just let God take care of it. And people are people. If that's you this morning, I'm gonna just pray. And if it's you, I want you to focus on letting it go. On letting it go. A forgiving heart is what God asks of us, demands of us for being part of His family. So if that's you, as I pray, just think like you're holding on to something, a bird, and you're just going to let it fly away. So let's just do that. Just put your hands together like if you're holding on to a little bird, and we're going to let it go. We're going to let it go. And when I say let it go, just open your hands. But let me pray first. Let's just all do that together. Put your hands together. Heavenly Father, Lord, Your word is clear to us this morning. And our heart's desire is to be about Your business. Our heart's desire is to answer the call that You have for our lives. And Lord, part of our Christian life is to let go of and be forgiving, to let go of hurts, to let go of bitterness, to let go of those things that have been done against us. Lord, it's not something that is easy to do, but nothing is too difficult. When Your Spirit empowers us, we are capable of doing amazing things in Your Spirit. So Lord, we pray this Christmas season that we are a church, we are a people that have forgiving hearts, that we don't hold on to grudges or bitterness, because those things, they only trap us. They only keep us in chains. But Lord, when we are able to let go, then we become free to love and free to serve and free to make an impact for Your kingdom. So Lord, forgive us for holding on, because Your word is clear that we must let go and have forgiving hearts. So as we count to three, we're going to just symbolically let go. And Lord, what we want is for you to replace that with your love, with your peace, with your joy, with increased faith that you've got this. The answers are coming. You're going to move mountains. Signs and wonders will occur. The waters will part. And the walls will come down. And if we need a miracle, Lord, you will fill our void with more of your greatness. So, Lord, we let go. One, two, three, we let go. In the name of Jesus. Let's just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the freedom. The freedom. Freedom of peace and joy and knowing that when we let go and we let your spirit take over our lives, that we are free to serve, to make an impact. And we know by faith that the things that we need answers to, the prayer requests that we have pending, we know the answers are on the way. And we thank you in advance because we know that the time is near. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's close this series off. Get ready for impact. If you want to make an impact for God's kingdom, be faithful, be thankful, be determined. Do I have them up there? Okay, great. I can read them. Faithful, thankful, determined, humble, and forgiving. You will change the world around you. These concepts are all in God's Word. They're all in God's Word, instructions for us. These concepts in your life lead to love, joy, and peace, and faith. And it will be evident that God's presence is with you. So I want to make an impact for God's kingdom. And I know that everyone in this room is destined to make a big impact for God. So be faithful. Be thankful. Determined, humble, and forgiving. And they're there in your notes if you need to reference them when you pray tonight or pray for these characteristics in your life. Here's what I know, and I'm going to end with this. Here's what I know. God doesn't waste time. Sometimes it feels to us like he's a little late, but God does not waste time. God is not restricted by time. God is not dependent on time. God is time. God is the I am. The kingdom of God will one day impact this earth in a dramatic way when Jesus returns and he's going to rule and reign. He's going to rule and reign. The world church, the body of believers, all the denominations that call Jesus Savior and Lord, we're all designed to impact people in this world for Christ. The local church, you and me in this room, are uniquely equipped to make an impact for Jesus Christ. You are individually and uniquely created to impact people for Jesus Christ. So, impact. That's what this series has been all about. Go and pray about this. How are you going to make an impact? Don't be in a hurry. God will figure it out. He doesn't need us to help him answer his calling in our lives. He's got this. He's got this. Amen? Amen. I'm so excited about the new year, but I love Christmas time, so I don't want to hurry through that. It's cool. The weather gets a little chilly. So I'm so excited about what God has planned. But just a few announcements in closing. We will be out next weekend. Our family will be out next weekend. So please come and pray for your pastors while we're gone. But we're taking our vacation week. We didn't do one this summer, so we're doing it this next weekend. So pray for us as we're traveling. Our ministry team will do a great job. I always hear amazing things about the services when I'm not here. So please plan to come. And don't forget to invite somebody for our Christmas service. And we're looking forward to that. We are having a food bank this Saturday, weather permitting. That's the plan. So those of you who can help, wear your shirts, your Hope Community shirts. We still have a few shirts if you want to buy some. I think they're $11 each, $12. What was it? $100 each now? They want to keep the profit. Shame on you. No, we have a few shirts left. But this Saturday, and I won't be here. That's why I'm reemphasizing. I may still text from my vacation, but I don't know. But this Saturday at 7 o'clock will be the food bank. Now, on Wednesday, we're going to attempt, do my best. I'm going to try to get out of work a little early. We're going to attempt to, we are not going to attempt, we're going to do it. We'll text some people to sign up for toys. We need to know how many toys to get. So I'm going to push it back a little bit. From 5 o'clock to 6:30 on Wednesday, this Wednesday, we're going to be out there signing people. I may ask some of you individually to help me. If you just want to help and just show up and be there, you don't even have to help, just be part of it. That's cool, too. It's always to have more than enough people. It's always good to have enough people where some people are just standing around doing nothing. That's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because you have extra. But we are going to do that. We don't need a whole lot of helpers, but we are going to sign people up from 5 to 6:30 on Wednesday. So if you're able to help, that'll be great. I know it's around work time, so it's not easy. But we're going to do our best to sign up as many people for toys. These are families that we've been helping, and they know us, and we know them, and we just love to bless them. We just love to bless them. So we want to do that. So we're going to be doing some stuff for that. So that's our part in serving. So that's going to happen this Wednesday, 5 to 6:30. So we're ready. Food bank. So we got a lot of things planned this week. And then we're going to actually distribute the toys on Saturday, the 22nd of December. So does anyone want to dress up like Santa Claus? We don't do Santa Claus. Okay, good. I'm just kidding. All right, let's all stand and let's go and let's go and change the world, impact the world for Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we close the service today, we know that you are the reason for the season. You are the reason that we are saved. And this world celebrates Christmas, but in a way they don't really celebrate the real reason. And that's the greatest love story ever told. And you coming to die on the cross, Jesus coming to live this life here on earth, to die, is just the most precious gift that we could ever have. And Lord, as we prepare to make an impact to people around us, we also want, Lord, to honor you, making sure that you stay part of this season, that you are the focus in our family life and in our family celebrations, that we always let you be the main goal, the main purpose of the celebration. And bring peace and joy to each family represented. And for those who haven't been able to make it, Lord, we just pray that you provide a way for them to make it to celebrate this beautiful season and remembering you, Lord. So, Lord, we just close this service. We leave this place knowing that we are going to make an impact. People will know that God loves them through us. And that's who we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.